Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Final hour of the Diddy Takeover of the week. This is the final hour of the week that we're bringing you some action here on the Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan. I'm Diddy, he's Lonzo, and we got a lot more to get to with the NFL playoffs, with the national championship game, and everything else going on in your sports world. We want to hear from you on all and every and all topic, excuse me. Give us a call, 844-477-3776. You can text us at 71307. Start that message with ESPN or get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Still got those four polls rolling. We're going to get you the results in those in just a couple of segments. And there's a lot of votes pouring in from you guys. We appreciate the feedback on that. We're diving back in right now to the NFL playoffs this weekend. We've talked about the matchups we want in the conference championship. We've talked about the quarterback matchups between all of these teams. Now I kind of want to get into who the best teams are left. We rank things all the time. We rank things throughout the season. And now that we're sitting on just eight teams left in the playoffs, we've basically told you our top four by who we picked for these games. We've made our picks. The wise guy's wisdom was early in the show, and we made all of the picks. Both of us picked all four games the same, right? So it was Niners, Ravens, Chiefs, and Packers. The two of us both picked. So of that, where are we going to rank those four? So obviously we think those four are the best four of the eight teams left. If you were to rank those four teams, Lonzo, who would be your number one team left in the playoffs for the NFL? See, is it on your shirt?
Of course it is. Of course I'm going to say that. You know, I mean, come on. I have to do that.
That's fair.
I would go out of the four that we said would win, I would go Chiefs, Ravens, 49ers, Packers.
I would change that up. I have said that I think the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, and I still believe that. But I would say the Chiefs are probably the third best team as far as the being just on paper best team. I would put them behind both the 49ers and Ravens. I still think they beat the Ravens if they end up playing them. I think experience plays a huge role in the NFL, especially on that stage. And I think that's what we saw, that razor-thin difference between the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl last year and the Patriots going back, was that little razor-thin difference that the experience factor can have in a game as big as a conference championship game in the NFL. And now, going into this one, if it is in fact Ravens-Chiefs, the Chiefs have all the experience. The Ravens haven't been in this level for a few years now, and most of this team wasn't there. Joe Flacco is playing quarterback. So this is something where it's going to be, I think, to me, an experience factor that makes the Chiefs the better team on the day. But I still feel like overall the Ravens are a better team than them. And I still think the 49ers, who were able to hold on, even though they lost to the Ravens, but I think the Niners overall are the best team on paper with what they've been able to do so far out there in San Francisco. That has changed back and forth throughout the year. And down the stretch, the Niners did struggle. So there was a little bit of trouble there down the stretch. But I still think they're slightly better overall than the Ravens, and it's probably because of the defensive side of the ball. And then you just got to give Lamar Jackson, I think, the edge in how they're playing football this year. So that's I would say Niners, Ravens, Chiefs, Packers for the top four. Who do you think's the worst team left?
Period. Playing. Not those four, but out of the
eight.
Out of the eight. It would have to be between Minnesota and the Titans, and I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I think it's the Titans. And I still, you know, obviously by record, they're the worst anyway, but I think it's the Titans because I think that they had slightly easy matchups to get into the playoffs down the stretch. And overall, when it comes to the first round of the playoffs, they had the easy game. And that's weird to say. It's very weird to say after what we've seen for the last 20 years that getting the Patriots on the road in the opening round of the playoffs was the easier game. But it was. The Vikings had to go to New Orleans, to the Big Easy, to the Superdome, and beat a Saints team that was far better than the New England Patriots this year to get through that first round, and they did it. So I would say they edged them out. And really, overall, I might have the Seahawks second to last. Because of the injuries, because of their lack of running game, bringing Marshawn Lynch out of retirement to even have any semblance of a rushing attack. So I guess my rankings would go 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, Packers, Texans, Vikings, Seahawks, Titans. Those would be my eight of the eight remaining. And, you know, that doesn't mean anything overall because, as we all know, everybody's wrong sometimes. And all of these games could be wrong. We have picked all four home teams. We went as chalk can be on this NFL divisional round, and we could be 0-4. We saw three out of four road teams win in the first round last week. I obviously explained why that's not as big of a deal as people made it out to be on Monday. And again, when you look at the history of the divisional round, for the majority of the time, the home teams win a lot of these football games. So you kind of have to lean a little bit to these. And Vegas is telling us that, too. The only game that's within a touchdown is the Seahawks-Packers game, as far as the spread is concerned, being 4.5 points. The other next closest would be San Francisco, favored by just 7, which that kind of blows my mind. I feel like the way they've been able to dominate most teams outside of a bad loss to the Seahawks and then that game against the Ravens, I would think they would have more than a 7-point favorite for the Niners in that football game out in San Francisco against Minnesota, a team who nobody thought would be here. Like, we all thought this would be Saints Niners, Drew Brees going out west to try to take out Jimmy G. And it's not the case. I guess if they won, they would have gone to Green Bay, right?
I believe you may be right.
Yeah, but either way, so even there, that would be even better. We all thought we were going to have Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and then you'd have Russell Wilson. We'd have the matchup of the Western, the NFC West going head-to-head in this second round instead of what we might see in the championship game. So I still feel that that's a crazy coincidence that it's even the Vikings there, and they're only getting 7 points, the Niners.
Well, I look at these playoffs, and for the first time in a couple years, I see only one team that I wouldn't root for. So I whoever ends up in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Especially after last week.
I don't know if it's whoever, though.
Well, of course, I want Kansas City to be there. I do. But I am realistic to know that there are some tough teams in there, and they could possibly lose. It's definitely a possibility, and it wouldn't be a complete shock if they lost. If Houston beats them, I don't think it would be a complete shock. I don't.
Yeah. And I don't think it would either with that because they beat them already.
Right.
They beat them in week 6 and it was in Arrowhead.
And if they were to face the Titans have beat them also. So it's, I mean, again, there are no surprises here, but there are chances of revenge for them.
But when it comes to the home field advantage, typically in this round, the home team does win. I think that gives the Chiefs a little bit of an edge there on that. Plus, overall, the team is far better, and I think the team that we saw from the Chiefs the last few weeks of the season is night and day in comparison to the team that played the Texans back in week 6.
Who has the bigger home field advantage, the Chiefs or Green Bay, especially in the playoffs?
I got to say Green Bay.
I have to say Green Bay also.
Because
of the history.
The history. Yeah, the history's there. And again, I brought this up the other day. If you remember when Mike Vick went up there with the Falcons and won in the snow, in the playoffs, in Lambeau, it was this unheard of thing. I don't think we've ever had that in our lifetime. Like back in the earlier days when the Chiefs were winning a bunch of championships and stuff, I think there probably was maybe a give and take. It might have been a 50-50 split there. Either one could have probably been the better option. But now, you know, we went most of our lifetimes looking at Lambeau as a place you just can't win in the postseason. And it's become a little bit less that over the years, but I still think they have the better home field advantage, especially if it's going to be full of snow. And as according to the ESPN scoreboard, the AccuWeather, 24 degrees and possible snow at kickoff. 24 degrees. That means the wind chill is definitely under, right? Up there in Wisconsin.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. It's below zero wind chill. It's going to be awful. But Arrowhead, day game, 3:05 kick, which is evening-ish once it gets going, 35 degrees. And that'll drop as that game goes on. And that could spell some trouble. Texas, the Texans play in a dome. They play in Texas. You know, it's a little warmer. So it could be a little bit of trouble for them. Arrowhead, cold. Who knows if any storms roll in? It says partly cloudy. So maybe one of those clouds turns into a snowstorm and gives Pat Mahomes an
edge. Yeah, they've already played in a snowstorm this year. Well, it was a lot of fun to watch, too.
I love those games. Those are the best games. There haven't been as many of them the last few years, and I don't like that. The best one I've ever seen was the Patriots beat the Dolphins in, I think it was 03. And when Bruschi picked it off and did that, the low knees to get into the end zone, and everybody was throwing the snow straight up in the air because it had completely covered all the seats. I love that. That's so much fun.
I will tell you, I know these guys are adults, but I played in a bunch of snow games in high school.
Yeah.
It sucks to play in.
It's harsh. I played as a kid in one in New Hampshire, and I was dying.
Yeah, every hit hurts a little bit more, and it's good to win, though.
I remember tipping up. I think I was nine, and I remember this vividly. I tipped the ball up, and it ended up getting intercepted, and I didn't follow him because my hand hurt so bad. Like, to block, I was like, ow.
Yeah. You know that feeling of if you sit in a chair the wrong way and your feet are kind of asleep?
Yes.
That's how it feels in the fourth quarter in a heavily snow game with real cold out. You feel like you're walking on not your feet. You don't know what they are, but it's like that. And if someone steps on them, oh.
Yeah. Bone chilling is not a figurative term when it comes to that kind of cold. It is a literal feeling. It is bone chilling. So cold when it's like that. We do have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy wants to talk NFL divisional round playoffs. Jimmy, welcome into the Diddy Takeover.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well.
So I'm going to make a Super Bowl prediction instead of divisional round.
Okay.
If Jadeveon Clowney can stay healthy, I think Seattle has a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. And then I think Baltimore, I know so far nobody's really shut down Lamar Jackson from running the ball, except for early in the season, and he's on a roll right now. So I'm going to predict Seattle and Baltimore in the Super Bowl.
All right, that's a good pick. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Appreciate the input. Seattle versus Baltimore. Ravens, Seahawks, a bunch of birds going to the Super Bowl down in Miami. That makes sense. Go south for the winter, right?
What would everyone think about that? It's not exactly a sexy matchup, though.
I guess it is. I mean, it is and it isn't. You have the quarterback battle. You have, you know, Lamar versus Russell. The problem I have with that, if it is to happen, is that it seems kind of skewed in favorite because of the fact that the Seahawks have Russell and DK Metcalf and then, like, what? Offensively, you know, their defense has gotten better. They played well and they were able to take out the Niners in the first matchup and keep up with the Niners in week 17. But I'm not so sure that, you know, obviously neither of us picked Seattle to even beat Green Bay. So I'm definitely not sure they're going to make it to the Super Bowl with what they have this year. I think earlier in the season, before injuries, before the war of attrition took their toll, I think Seattle, I picked them to end up taking over the division and beating out the Niners, and then things just kind of fell apart down the stretch. So I'm not so sure that'd be there. But I still think it's definitely a sellable Super Bowl, if that was the Super Bowl. I think the least sellable Super Bowl would be if it was Titans-Vikings.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody would care.
That would be pretty bad. I still would watch it, though.
Well, you watch every Super Bowl. Why would you not watch the Super Bowl? I would, but see, and that's there. That you take the playoff this year, no matter what the matchup would have been, I would have been excited for Monday night.
I will tell you, Monday night, I have no idea what I'm eating. For the Super Bowl, I already have planned what I'm making. So,
what are you making?
Monday, wings.
But what if Kansas City's in it? You're not going to Miami?
No, I can't afford that. Are you kidding?
Well, he's not far. 13-hour drive.
Last year, I was willing to mortgage some things to go because it was in Atlanta. And
it was right there, yeah.
Yeah, it's because we wouldn't have to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
You'd just been drive there and then drive back home.
I've told you the other day I got friends down in South Florida.
I know.
I could put you up.
I know, but I'm being realistic here. Just like I was being realistic last year.
Yeah.
We would have. You know, I've talked my way into things that I probably shouldn't have, like what I'm driving. So I think I could have talked my way into going to that Super Bowl. This one, I don't think I could.
Well, I mean, I feel like you should feel more confident this year because you don't have to face the dynasty again. They're gone.
I was more confident last year. I just was.
You should have listened to me. I told you not to be. Speaking of confidence, you're going to need a whole lot of it if you're on LSU or Clemson to win a national championship. And you need a lot of confidence to be a writer in this world of journalism, especially when you're a fan journalist, as I am and as our next guest is. Chris Branch will join us from Louisiana. He writes for SB Nation's and The Valley Shook LSU blog. He's going to join us to tell us five reasons, or maybe more reasons. He has two columns. One says he's completely convinced LSU will beat Clemson. The other one says he's completely convinced that LSU will lose to Clemson. We'll ask him about both of those and much, much more. We're talking national championship next on the Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We've tried to cover all bases on the national championship game. Taj Boyd, former Clemson player. We had beat writers from here about Clemson, from Louisiana. Scott Rabelais of The Advocate talking about LSU and Clemson. Talked about it with an outsider of Matt Mershell in Florida and got a fan journalist yesterday for Clemson. So to complete the circle, we reached out to another fan journalist out in Louisiana. He is Chris Branch. He writes for AndTheValleyShook.com. It is the SB Nation LSU blog and articles and everything. All the coverage you want of LSU is there at AndTheValleyShook.com. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, evening.
No problem, man. I'm happy to be on. How are you?
Absolutely. We're good. We're great. And it seems like the party's already starting out there in Louisiana, isn't it?
Oh, buddy. I mean, it started early today. We're hoping the weather holds out, but it should be a really fun weekend no matter what happens.
No doubt. Well, you have two great articles you posted yesterday on And the Valley Shook. You had the complete, you're convinced completely that LSU is going to win. You're convinced completely that LSU is going to lose. Let's start on the winning side of things. Obviously, it has to start and end with Joe Burrow, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, as I said in the article, and it's what I think about every day, that how can he be better? Like, waiting on a bad game. He hasn't had a bad game one time this year, you know. You worry that every week that he's going to go out there and, like, oh, man, he's going to throw a pick. Oh, man, it's like, and he just has been. It's been incredible, and it's kind of hard to process. We're going to be processing the season no matter what happens on Monday for a long time. So, yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow, first and foremost. Incredible.
Absolutely. Chris Branch of AndTheValleyShook.com with us on ESPN Upstate. Beyond just Joe Burrow, when you look at this LSU team, what else convinces you that they have the best chance to win the national championship on Monday night?
I mean, they're just so deep in skill players, you know, and I thought this whole season that LSU and Ohio State and Clemson were all the most talented teams. And these teams, especially on defense, they're probably going to play a lot of man coverage because they have the best players in the country.
Yeah.
And LSU's played, you know, some really good corners, some really good secondary players. And their skill players are just so deep, you know. Clemson might be able to cover Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and Terrace Marshall. And then you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire leaking out the backfield. Or, like we saw a couple weeks ago, Thaddeus Moss, the tight end, leaks open. And all of a sudden, he's running for a 61-yard touchdown. It's just, with a guy like Burrow back there who is so precise and he's so smart, and then when you can go six deep, seven deep on skill players that can score a touchdown, it's that's super hard to stop. I mean, sure I'm speaking for Brent Venables there, but it's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire and you add Chris Curry into that mix, Curry had the 90 yards against Oklahoma 2 weeks ago. How important is this rushing attack for LSU going to be in this game to make sure there's a little bit of pressure taken off Joe Burrow going up against such a stout defense like Clemson's?
It's so important. I mean, honestly, you could probably say it's what makes LSU run this year because, you know, if LSU couldn't run the ball, if they didn't have Clyde or whoever, everybody would just drop back and, you know, let the three-man rush get there eventually after 10 seconds and, you know, we'll figure it out. But Clyde out the backfield has been so lethal, you know, both running the ball and catching the ball, that it's really been a spark. And, you know, if you read articles and read comments everywhere, there's people saying that Clyde is arguably the most important part outside of Joe.
You're talking to Chris Branch of AndTheValleyShook.com here on ESPN Upstate. The other one you wrote was the things you're concerned about, the reasons you're convinced LSU won't win, why they'll lose to Clemson. What sticks out the most about LSU and Clemson in this matchup that worries you for the LSU Tigers?
Well, simply, I mean, Clemson is the most talented team that LSU is going to play all year. I think, you know, Alabama was the big team that was the figure on the mantelpiece that you needed to get before getting here, and their defense wasn't that great, and you know they were really injured and they were hurt. So you wonder. I mean, LSU hasn't faced a team like Clemson who is as talented across the board all year, and so it's like, what if you get there and it's not what you thought it was? And you know, all of a sudden, Clemson's getting to Joe, and Clemson is covering the wide receivers, and Isaiah Simmons is covering Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's just, you know, it's kind of uncharted territory even after 14 games.
And as much as this is being made to be almost a home game for LSU, being in New Orleans, not far from Baton Rouge, you pointed that out as a little bit more pressure. How much do you think the added pressure can play into this game?
You know, I said this in the article, and that the players were toddlers when this happened. But I was in the stands in 2012 when LSU lost to Alabama horrifically. And it's they should win. You know, they're putting out all these hype videos. They are in their backyard. This whole town is covered with LSU fans right now.
Yeah.
And that's pressure. I mean, Clemson has, I mean, they obviously have stuff to lose, but they are, you know, they can use that underdog, all shucks, you know, everybody's against this mentality that Dabo likes. And it's true this week, you know, LSU's number one and they're in their backyard. So it is a lot of pressure, I think, that nobody's really talking about.
Chris Branch of AndTheValleyShook.com with us on ESPN Upstate. It's been a long time since the last game, 15 days now, I think, or 14, and we're going to 17 before they play this thing on Monday night. Who do you think that favors more, Clemson and Brent Venables or the LSU Tigers?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
No, you're good. The long layoff, do you think it benefits more Brent Venables and Clemson or LSU?
Honestly, I think it's pretty even. I mean, I think you could say that both sides have excellent coaches. You know, I thought about this with Nick Saban and everything. He had 2 weeks to scheme LSU up, and nothing happened. And, you know, you could say that Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger had 2 weeks to scheme up Nick Saban, and that worked out pretty well, too. I do think that Clemson's defense is going to be the best LSU's played all year, and that Venables is the best defensive coordinator they faced all year. So if anybody can figure them out, at least for a little bit, it's going to be pretty good.
Absolutely. Chris Branch of AndTheValleyShook.com with us on ESPN Upstate. All right, you wrote the articles. You've given us reasons why you are convinced LSU will win and reasons why you're convinced they'll lose. So give us your official pick. What do you think happens Monday night in New Orleans?
I think it's going to be a really close first half. Until somebody proves me wrong, I think LSU is still going to score a lot of points. I have LSU 42, Clemson 31, but I think it's going to be a really good game until the end.
Absolutely. Well, he is Chris Branch. He is of AndTheValleyShook.com, SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at CBranch89. Chris, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the party. That's a note to future fan bloggers. Step outside the bar and talk to us and then go back in.
How do you know he wasn't?
That's true, too. It is New Orleans.
He's seeing the streets are full of people.
He's
so
in New Orleans. There's probably nowhere to hide.
Probably not.
Which is fair. I'll give him a pass then.
Maybe hotel room and maybe not even that.
The good thing is he wasn't standing by people who were screaming obscenities in which we had to dump the whole interview.
Yes.
So that's a plus. But thanks to Chris Branch. He does do a great job on that blog. SB Nation does a great job across the board, to be honest. But this one's pretty cool. I've read these two pieces. He did a great job on them. And interesting stuff to take into account. A lot of stuff that we've talked about here on this program this last week leading you guys into this game. A lot of stuff I talked about at 5 o'clock earlier today that me and him both agreed on the factors of what LSU was going to have to do. I think he obviously seems to think that they are going to do those things as he picked LSU to win this thing by scoring 42 points on Clemson's defense. I'm not so sure that's a possibility, but there's a lot of factors and there always is in games like this. It just seems to me that when it's so closely matched in the paper, that there's factors that play in beyond that. And one of those to me has to be the experience. And Clemson's got that running away over LSU in this football game. So we're going to get into more of the national championship and talk more NFL playoffs. We need to close out your polls for the final day of the week, the last Diddy takeover of the week leading in to the NFL divisional playoff round, the national championship game Monday. We've got four polls for you. We're going to close those out. We're going to take your calls, read your texts and your tweets, and so much more as we shut down the Diddy takeover here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Diddy Takeover means Diddy Takeover Twitter polls, and they're all coming to a close with your final results of the day. We also want to hear from you for the rest of the show. 844-477-3776 is the phone number to call. You can text us at 71307. Start your message with ESPN. As far as the Twitter polls are concerned, your final results have been tabulated. And Diddy Takeover Twitter poll number one, which NFC championship game would you most like to see? Winner of the poll with 46%, Seahawks, Niners.
Shocking.
I'm kind of shocked about that, though. Thought there were more Packer backers around these parts. So I felt like there would be a Packers push more so. It would either be, I almost felt like Packers Vikings might outdo Seahawks.
Maybe Clowney tipped the balance there.
The Gamecock fans got in on it with Clowney. Maybe,
possibly.
Russell Wilson, I mean, he originally was a North Carolina State guy.
There's that.
He's a little tie to the Carolinas there. But there it is. The listeners of Offsides, the Diddy Takeover, Seahawks, Niners. They want the rematch. I mean, it's got kind of a nice implications with it because if you remember last time these two teams played in an NFC championship game, it was the Richard Sherman, Michael Crabtree thing. Sherman was on the Seahawks. Sherman's now a 49er. That's kind of interesting. You're going to watch that if that's the case. So that one's pretty good, too. Diddy Takeover Twitter poll number two, AFC championship game. Would you rather most, or I just read it all completely wrong. Which AFC championship game would you most like to see? Ravens Chiefs, Ravens Texans, Titans Chiefs, Titans Texans. Ravens Texans wins by a slim margin. 39% of the vote to Ravens Texans, 32% to Ravens Chiefs. So it's close. I'm pretty impressed by that one.
I'm not surprised that the Texans won, though, because of all the Deshaun Love.
Well, the Deshaun Love is why the Titans-Texans came in third over Titans-Chiefs, too. Nobody wants either of those, really. Nobody wants the Titans to move on. Let's be honest. It's another Tennessee thing.
No one thought the Titans would be here either. That's what makes them scary.
I didn't think they'd be here, but I knew they'd be here after they got in because they had the Patriots, and I knew that was going to happen. So did you.
Yes,
you got yelled
I did.
At for it on this show.
Yes, I did.
Twitter poll number 3. This one's an easy answer, and it's the answer I love. How dumb is the Trevor should sit next year take? Dumb, dumber, dumbest, or makes sense to me? 72% of the vote. Dumbest. I agree. There was 5% for dumb, so they didn't think it was quite as dumb. 2% thought it was a little dumber, but not the dumbest. 21% says makes sense to me. That's pretty impressive, to be honest. I still think it's and to qualify it a little bit more, I'm not saying what Michael Stathakis tweeted us, what Lonzo said, is the dumbest take on this. They said if he is to do it, I would understand. What I'm saying is the people in the national media, the people in the local media, the people on sports talk radio across the country who are suggesting that he should are the dumbest takes.
But it's lazy. It is.
That, it really is.
But what they're wanting that to happen so they can destroy the person who does it. That's what they're just.
That's probably the truth.
Yeah, because they know that would carry them for weeks on end.
That'd be such a hypocritical move. You're like, you should sit out next year. How dare you?
So it would be, but it wouldn't be shocking.
Know what would happen. It would not be shocking whatsoever in this business. That's why I think it's the dumbest. That's why I think it's the dumbest take, because, again, it's like Lonzo just said, it's lazy. It's one of the lazier takes you can have, because year in and year out, you can find some stud in college football to just refresh this story and just input name here. Should sit out next year. Oh, he didn't do it. Who's next? This guy. He should sit out this year. Oh, he didn't do it either. How about that guy? You know, because to me, if you're suggesting it, if you're saying this is the smartest move for you and not saying, well, you know, I could kind of get it, which that's fine. I see your points. But if you're suggesting it, pushing for it, thinking it should happen, then why do you think that Joe Burrow shouldn't sit out this one? I mean, his stock is locked in. If you think he should to preserve his stock, why take a chance to get hurt in the national championship game? You know, if you're Joe Burrow, why if you're an NFL player, play the last year of your contract? You don't want to hurt your stock. You know, that's what I think this is the equivalent of that suggestion to sit out the season. The last Twitter poll of the day, Twitter poll, did he take over? Number 4, which championship event is most important to you? You, the ESPN Upstate Offsides with Mark Ryan listener. Is it the college football natty? Is it the Super Bowl, the World Series, or the Stanley Cup Final? 76% of the vote. College football national championship game. Followed by 14% for the Super Bowl.
I would love, hopefully maybe we could do this again next year if Clemson's not in it.
Yeah, and see where that is.
How would the vote go?
And that's fair too. Or even do it at the Super Bowl time. So in a few weeks, when it's Super Bowl week and we're more, you know, focused on the Super Bowl, we've passed the college football championship. It's behind us now. It's not in our foreground. It's not something we're looking forward to, excited about, hyped about at the point in time. Does it change a little bit because now you're approaching a Super Bowl that you are excited about and hyped about and not reminiscing about the national championship? It might swing in 2 weeks for all we know. And depending on who the matchup is, it might swing a lot, because if it is the Texans, are they going to start swinging towards Super Bowl because you got your former Clemson Tiger in the game? That could be pretty interesting to see as well. So maybe we will refresh that if we have the opportunity to, coming up in a few weeks.
I also wish we could jump ahead a year or so. When Trevor is in the NFL, who gets the most love from Clemson fans, if whatever team he's playing for when they play Houston?
Yeah, and that's a big question as well. Who do you choose for? What if it's a Houston Texans and, say, Carolina Panthers Super Bowl, and it's Trevor Lawrence against Deshaun Watson? What do you do? I think Clemson fans might buy those jerseys that are two jerseys stitched together. And I almost wouldn't be that upset about it, because it's not like it's, you know, cheering for your team and your rival and putting the jerseys together or hats together or anything else that we've seen some people do that's really embarrassing. If it's just two of your favorite players and you put the jerseys together and it's Deshaun and Trevor Lawrence.
I may be naive, but I don't think they sell them that way.
You can get those made, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think.
I've seen them.
I think two people buy and then they just.
And then you sew them together, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just buy two jerseys.
There's crafty people out there.
Yeah, there is.
And they have too much money. So and they spend that money.
Sewing machines or, yeah.
See, I wouldn't do that because I would have to pay for two jerseys and I can't afford one. So I wouldn't do that.
And I can't burn a jersey. I can't cut a jersey. That's the dumbest thing. Throw a jersey away.
You know what's dumber than suggesting kids should sit out? Burning your jerseys for any reason whatsoever.
Absolutely.
And the dumbest of all were the people who burned their jerseys in Cleveland and then went out and bought a new LeBron jersey when he came back.
But I think
they could just put it in the back of your closet and acted like you burnt it.
I think the majority of them were smart enough to not burn it the next time.
Yeah. I don't think they burnt it this time. Just in case. He might get that one day contract to retire a Cavalier at the end of his career. We're going to get to the phone lines. Billy wants to talk NFL. Welcome to the Diddy Takeover, Billy.
Hey, Diddy. Listen, I just wanted to make NFL make some predictions in the NFL playoffs. I was just doing a little homework while you were talking the last couple of hours, just listening to you guys. Great conversation, by the way. And
appreciate it.
Also, just looking at some things that, you know, because I do bet, and I just, you know, out of for fun, and I make some money off of it sometimes, and I have lost some. But anyway, I was just curious, you know, I was looking at the Minnesota game with San Francisco. I didn't realize that Minnesota has had San Francisco's number. They've won four out of the last five, and a couple of them have been at San Francisco. Now, obviously, if you go back far enough, these aren't the same players, but I was thinking going into that game, I made this comment on the air with you guys earlier in the week that I thought Cook was going to be the key, but after going back and looking at his stats, I don't think he's the key. I mean, he's not rushed that many times for 100 yards this year. He was clearly the key in that last game that they played, but I don't think he's the key in this game at all. In fact, I'm not sure he's going to get 100 yards against San Francisco, and it's kind of changed my opinion on who I think is going to win. I do think it's going to be a close game because I do think for whatever reason Minnesota plays well against San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But I do think San Francisco is probably going to end up winning it ultimately, but, you know, by three or four, not by the number, but by three or four points. And then the other thing that shocked me, I just was curious, just looking at Baltimore's numbers, you know, how many times they've given up rushing yards. And believe it or not, their defense is not on the field a lot, but when they have been on the field, they have given up big numbers sometimes rushing. And one of the losses that stood out to me was the Cleveland loss.
Yeah.
Obviously, they only had two. And Kansas City, that's not their MO. They don't run the ball that much, but I forgot the guy, the back, you probably can name his name up in, I think it's Chubb, isn't it, up in Cleveland. He had 165 yards on 20 carries.
Yeah.
And I do believe Henry's going to be able to run the ball against them. Call it me wishful thinking or whatever. This has got nothing to do with me not liking Baltimore. I just got a feeling that Tennessee is going to beat Baltimore. I really believe that. We'll see. The other two games, I don't have a good feeling for the Green Bay-Seattle game. I'm not sure what to think. I would probably lean towards taking the points, but it's hard to go against Green Bay up there. I would agree with you. I've heard you insinuate that a couple of times. And then the other AFC game is Houston and Kansas City. I know there's a lot of Deshaun Watson fans around here, and listen, the guy is unbelievable in certain situations, but he was horrible for three quarters in that game against Buffalo.
He
came alive after that one play. He's not going to be able to spot Kansas City a 16-point lead or whatever it was and come back from that against them. I think it's going to be ugly. I think Kansas City is going to beat them by more than 10 and probably cover that spread.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diddy, listen, always good talking to you and enjoy what you do and hope to hear you soon, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Billy. Always appreciate your input there. And there's some stats to go with it, though, where I do have to disagree a little bit about the Ravens. They are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're fifth in the NFL against the rush as far as yards per game overall, with just 93.4 allowed per game, and that includes that Chubb game. I think that was an anomaly. They got blown out by the Cleveland Browns, who were a bad football team.
I gotta tell you, though, when we did the picks, I was tempted. I was tempted to go Titans. I really, really was.
Yeah.
Because of Henry.
But they're fifth against the run. Fifth in the league against the run, and they're sixth in the league against the pass. Their defense has been pretty good. They haven't had to play much, but they have been pretty good. So I do have to give a little edge there. And home field advantage in Baltimore, that's one of the places where home field advantage in the postseason is a very big deal, including the fact that they've been able to beat Tom Brady there in the postseason as well. Some guys haven't been able to do that at all in their career. But we're going to keep this conversation going, take more of your calls. And I'm going to play a little game with my man Lonzo called Would You Rather? And y'all can chime in on that as well. That's all next on the Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What a week we have had here on the Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan. Guests galore. We had our friend Sean Spencer from Rubbing the Rock, Chris Branch from And the Valley Shook, Matt Connolly, Matt Michelle, Chris Phillips, Elena Getzenberg. Oh man, even more. I think we had, who else was on this week? We had a bunch of people on this week, and it's been so much fun hanging out with all you guys all week long, talking football, talking baseball, talking everything in the world of sports. National championship on Monday. We're going to give you another show Monday, me and Lonzo, 5 to 6:30, the special Offsides National Championship pregame show following the Ingles pregame kickoff show with Mark Ryan, Fat Boy, and Nine from 3 to 5. We'll be here from 5 to 6:30, leading you right in to the national championship game between the Clemson Tigers and the LSU Tigers.
I love that. We get off early, be able to home and get ready to watch the game and watch Clemson lose.
Because the coverage is, I picked them to win, so I disagree. But the coverage starts at 6:30. The game's still not till 8.
Right.
So we have plenty of time to get situated. I'm going to go home, probably take a shower, you know, and then slow pour a nice stout and cook some food and get ready, baby, because I'm going to have to deal with the Clemson fan on the couch next to me going nuts. That's not easy. It's still not easy, no matter how long this goes on. You know, last year, by the way, I went downtown to a pizza place where there's the main pizza place by the same name as in Clemson. They built one here in Greenville as well. I won't name it, but you probably know what it is. There were three of us sitting at the bar in the corner. Two of us Gamecock fans, the other a Notre Dame fan. We just kind of sat there and just licked our wounds and had some cold beverages while the rest of the place was orange to the gills, going nuts for that championship game last year. So at least this year will just be me and the girlfriend, and I'll have to, you know, obviously I have to support her. You got to give love to the person you love. So she gets the nice me tomorrow, but it's still going to be painful to sit there, especially if it ends up being anything like last year.
Yeah.
And they run away with it. She's going to be so just over the top about it. I know it. I love her to death, but I know she's going to be. And I'm going to have to sit there and just be like, yep, congrats.
Well,
good job.
You won't have to sit through 4 hours of someone kissing the team's butt like I probably will.
On Tuesday. Yeah.
I want to hear the opposite of that, the excuses being made and all this stuff and blaming the refs and all these things that will happen if they indeed lose. I just hope it's a good game. Either way, you know, I know I picked LSU to win, and I do believe they will. But either way, as long as it's somewhere close to what the Ohio State-Clemson game was, because that was intriguing. It had so much in it. And I want to see that again on the national championship
Me
stage.
Too. I want Matt Michelle, and I think Connolly said it as well. Ross Tucker, I think, alluded to it when he was talking about when we had him on again yesterday, thanks to him as well yesterday, that it's going to be this shootout, this legendary game. I do want that. I love being right. So last year was a lot of fun as far as how much crap I took for saying Clemson. I think I tweeted it right after the Carolina game, and I was saying, look, Gamecocks played a heck of a football game in that game with Jake Bentley that day, and they played against who is unquestionably, as what I said by verbatim, I said, the unquestionably the best team in college football, that is Clemson. I was crushed. Bama fans, Auburn fans taking Bama's side, which they tell me that doesn't happen. Oh, it does. Those people cover their backs for some reason in that state, no matter what. Carolina fans, everybody tell me, oh, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. How about Alabama? You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. How do they let you go on the air? What happened? Clemson blew them out. They blew them out. And it made it so much nicer that they blew them out, because I could cope with the fact that Clemson was going to win again and then start feeling great about being right after that. If it's close it all has to happen at once. It's not as glorious.
I think being right would have came first for me. But, you know, then the fact that Clemson, I was right.
See, I think it will go that way. It went that way the first time when Deshaun got it because it was such an epic finish in the last second and the stress, the anxiety. I mean, they were losing that game in the first half. It looked like Alabama might run away, and they come back in and they do what they did a couple of times now to this point and saw 2 weeks ago as well, and they end up winning that thing the last second. I think at that night it was, yeah, that's right, I was right. And then I coped with the fact that, they won it, didn't they? that hurts. But if it's an epic game, I want it to be. I referenced this game earlier. I want it to be Texas at USC again. That was the most epic night I have ever watched of a national championship game. It was just beyond perfect.
It was very awesome. I hope it, with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I am online buying that LSU flag. That's what I hope for.
Quick delivery. Definitely need the prime on that one.
I'll pay for next day air, whatever it takes. I want it there as soon as it possibly can.
That's awesome. All right, I teased it. We're going to do it. Just a few questions for you, Alonzo. We're going to get into a would you rather game. It's going to be an easy one. It's going to be a simple one. And we're going to start right where we just were with Clemson winning a national championship. And this one's hard for me, too. It's really hard for me, too. So I'm going to ask you first. Would you rather Clemson wins 10 more national championships, but it means Carolina will win one within the next decade, or Clemson never wins another one again?
I would rather Clemson never wins another one again.
So you don't mind if we never get one?
Because I'm being realistic. Yeah, because I'm sorry. Unless something drastically changes.
What if it's like that guitar player who met the devil at the crossroads and had to make that decision to be the greatest guitar player of all time? And this is your decision you have to make. You're offered one football national championship in Columbia, South Carolina, but 10 more years of Clemson titles.
Not worth it. Not worth it. Not at all.
You know what? To be honest, I think I'm with you there because, you know, it's if there would be anything more unsufferable, and it wouldn't matter. It's not even this is. Not even a dig on Clemson as themselves. Anybody, if they won that many in a row, would be the most unsufferable fan base in the history of sports.
And it would kill the sport.
It would kill the sport. Unless it was like they were the only team every year that was the same and the other three were different every year. I think you'd still have a pull. It's like the Patriots. There was still the tournament every year where people were watching to hope they'd lose. No matter how long it went on, you still were watching every year to hope they lose. And by that time, by the way, I probably would get to a point where I would celebrate them losing just for it to be like somebody else. And it wouldn't be a rivalry thing. It would be like, oh, thank God, we're finally past this. The next would you rather has to do with some big, big men who coach football. We saw the great picture the other day of Mike McCarthy with the legend of Jerry Jones, and it looked like an aged version of Chris Farley and David Spade. Mike McCarthy's a big dude. You're walking down downtown in a big city. You take a turn down a dark alley. Would you rather run in to Mike McCarthy or Coach Ed Orgeron?
I think it's easy. I'd rather run into McCarthy. Yeah, because I don't want none of Orgeron, especially if he's making some sort of noise, you know, down the alleyway, and you can make out the silhouette, and all you hear is, no. Yeah, I don't want none of that.
God, especially if he started talking trash as he was coming out to you, like he's like, "I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna get you." You're like, "Ah!" I think I would dive into a dumpster and just start crying and be like, "Please don't hurt me." I'm a weak person, though. That's how that works. And by the way, if you haven't read the stories that are on ESPN.com about Ed Orgeron's life from his mom, pretty good stuff there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for letting me do this for the last week. Hopefully, Mark Ryan's feeling a little bit better, and he'll be back. We'll be with you 5 to 6:30 on Monday to lead you right in to the national championship game. As always, in the immortal words of Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other. See you Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.